So I think the first thing is you can't look at every lead source as, you know, you're going to get 15% on your revenue. It doesn't work that way. And I think the people who are doing that and killing sources are killing profitable sources that they're not aware of. So take television as an example. When you run television, we don't look to make money on our television ads. What we look to do is basically have volume attributable to television to break even on the television.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. This is Brian Kaskavalsian, and back with me is Scott Berman from Florida Window and Door. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Brian. What's happening?
Not a whole lot. Talking with you. It's always a good day when I get to talk to you.
Yeah, should be in Saint-Tropez.
Yes. It's even better if it's, yes, if it's in Saint-Tropez, for sure. So I've asked Scott to come back because he's, I think, like one of the smartest guys in the home improvement business, probably runs, I don't know, one of the best companies that I know of in the space. And I've asked him to come back and speak at Accelerate Live in February again. So for those of you listening, this is going to be a little bit of a plug for Accelerate Live, but there's always good stuff that comes from Scott, and we'll see what he's up to, what he's working on, what he sees going on out there in the industry, and I don't know, whatever else we end up chatting about. So what do we start with? Where should we start? What's happening with you? So we just had a hurricane here.
Just had a hurricane. We actually had two. Impacted about five of our markets. So we're dealing with employee safety, staff relocation, branch closures, damage, when everybody can come back to work, right? What the right thing to do is from a humanity perspective as well as an employee perspective. It's been busy at Florida Window & Door the last couple of weeks.
And so what's interesting, was the Fort Myers hurricane, was that last year or was that the year before?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Jeez, man, time flies. 2 years ago.
That was where Accelerate was.
Yeah, that's where Accelerate was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and that little sliver of area where we were was not impacted. So we got really, really lucky.
But the funny thing was I flew over there and you could see all the cars that had been destroyed from water that they were trying to dry out, like the boats underneath the bridges. I mean, it was pretty crazy.
It was nuts.
And this one was worse. So you can imagine the devastation is just, it's insane. And, you know, unfortunately, you got a lot of moving parts with people and they're like, nobody's hurt, but they can't get gas. They have no electricity.
Oh, geez.
Still today, some of our employees don't have electricity or running water. The hurricane was, I think, 4 days ago or 6 days ago. So it's a mess.
Incredible. Well, and it's, you know, it's funny. It's one of those things, you know, so your presentation this year at Accelerate was awesome. I asked you, hey, you know, you've built one of the largest companies in the country. And, you know, people mistakenly believe that, you know, and I was one of these people that it just happened to you, you know. Just all of a sudden, one day you woke up and now you're this big company and everything works and you're making money and blah, blah, blah. But your presentation was, okay, here's what we learned every year being in business and just how hard it is. It business isn't easy, especially this one, because there's so many moving parts. And so we can add this to your list of 2024 and 2022 is dealing with natural disasters. How do you deal with staff? How do you make sure they're okay? Now, on the one hand, it's going to be good for you. I would imagine the Fort Myers one was probably amazing for business. This one will probably be good for business as well, because people will now need to upgrade to hurricane impact windows even in areas where typically they weren't getting hit before. So now you got more reinvention to do.
So like a hurricane to us is a little worse than COVID, because in this case, we actually have to do the work, whereas COVID, we got money for doing no work.
Yeah.
So this is basically our marketing costs will go down across the board. Our demo rates will go up because a lot of the cost and replacement is insurance, repayment. So we'll go out to somebody's house and then we have to wait for months for a payment. So there's a lot of research the customer is doing, basically doing business with whoever they can find who can get out there. And then inevitably what you end up with is you're understaffed. And the challenge is you don't really know how long you're understaffed for, because you don't know how big the wave is. So it's a unique type of situation, but long term, it's good from a marketing perspective. It gives us awareness, or gives the consumer awareness of the benefit of our products. And in this particular case, because the hurricane was so devastating and so large, more and more homes, especially on the inside of Florida, the interior of the state, now the insurance companies and building code will probably require impact resistance in markets like Orlando, which didn't even consider a hurricane protection, two or three years ago. So
yeah,
it's going to change it, but it's long term, I hate to say, it's better for us, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, you and I were having different discussions than hurricane discussions, because the hurricane hadn't happened yet. And so you were talking about what you guys are doing now. It's middle of October. I'm not sure when this will be released, probably November, but it's middle of October. It's time to start thinking about next year. And why don't we go back and back to that, if you don't mind, back to some of the stuff that you were starting to work on in anticipation for, 1 year closing out and another year opening up. So you were doing some cool stuff there. And then also, how do you forecast? This is a big, big topic of conversation in October, November, and at the intensive in November, which you are a great part of as a mastermind group facilitator. Charlie Gindell is going to be running a planning boot camp, if you will, a kind of a smaller, half day planning boot camp. So how do you plan for, when do you start planning for the next year? And then what are some of the things that you take into consideration when looking at next year?
So we typically start planning for the following year in September of the previous year. And what we're doing in terms of budgeting is we're looking at our expenses through the end of August, annualizing them out, and then saying, okay, what was heavy, what was light, what are we looking at, what's our expectation? And we pretty much build a forecast based on the amount of leads we need in each market, and basically on a volume perspective of what we can expect. Next year, as an example, I think we're factoring in about a 22% marketing cost. You can look at this multiple ways, but we, in this particular case, I'm talking about 22 to 23% of marketing costs as it relates to media pies. So it doesn't include my call center, doesn't include my marketing management team. That's direct buys going into next year.
22-23% of revenue?
Of revenue, correct.
Without your call center, without your management team?
Correct.
Wow, that's aggressive.
You mean too conservative or too ambitious?
A lot of people listening to this will they can't believe that it's that high.
Well, this year was higher than we would like prior to the storm. So what we've done, and I've talked about this a number of times to you and to the groups that we're involved in, is that, our belief, this is the time where we're raising pricing for next year, budgeting, we're creating the pricing, we're putting it into our computer systems for implementation at our kickoff meeting in January. And, I just believe that marketing costs are going up. And if we're at 18% instead of 23%, that's fine. But I want to make sure that we have the amount of leads we need for our sales force. And I think this year specifically, we were shorter than we would have liked at times of the year. And I want to make sure that the budgets are there to be able to keep everybody going and growing. So, you know, that's how we're looking at it. I'm hoping we're going to be less, but I'm expecting the worst. And if it turns out to be better, great.
Well, but you are also, you also plan for profitability. So yes, your marketing costs may be 22, 23, 25, whatever the number is, percent, but you're still accounting for your bottom line. You're still going to hit your bottom line. So if your marketing costs go up, all pricing gets adjusted to account for that, correct?
Correct. So effectively, though, if the marketing costs are, if we hit, let's say, just 22% marketing costs, we'll actually make more money because our fixed costs are still fixed. So, you know, it's a number that we can play around with, but I feel very comfortable with that number. Our net income will actually grow substantially. You know, we're looking at a couple other things, but for the most part, I think that if you know, we're looking at it, like, where can we improve? This goes back to, you know, the concept of doing this earlier rather than later. Because if you're doing it November, December, it's too late in my mind. So when I look at where we can improve, we have to increase, you know, salesman retention in our organization, and we have to reduce cancellations in our organization. And if those two things happen, then our marketing costs will go down from, you know, 23% to 15 to 18%.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want anybody to believe that I would be happy with a 23% marketing cost, but I am, you know, plugging it in there as a way to be overly conservative so that I'm not short. And then if I can improve the other metrics, that number will just flow down directly to the bottom line. And so, you know, that's really what we're focusing on.
Was your thinking on forecasting and marketing budgets the same when you were a much, much smaller company than you are now? Or have things changed?
The difficulty of forecasting relative to the amount of information that we have and the amount of people that we have make it more complicated. The advantage of being smaller was we were able to operate and do things faster. So I could have done it in November. But now it's just, there's too many pieces and it's just too complicated to do it quickly. It's got to take time, and it changes. Like, again, we got to go to the marketing department. We got to go to our media buyers. We got to turn around and say, okay, what are we buying? When are we buying? You know, we're going to start buying our TV spots between after Thanksgiving and the second week of December, and commit to the entire year, because that's when inventory is the best and they don't have that many buys. They're coming out of the political season, so hopefully we'll have a president and be able to, you know, take advantage of certain things. So I just think you have to have those numbers. And again, it's a budget, so I'm not going to go higher than that. I think we'll go lower, but I budget worst case scenario knowing that I'm going to try to beat that. And that's really what we're trying to do.
It's that time again. Accelerate Live 2025 is happening at the beautiful Omni Resort on Amelia Island, February 11th and 12th, with special bonus workshops on the 13th. If you enjoy this podcast and still haven't made it to an Accelerate Live, now is finally the time to take the leap and see why this has become the number one event for owners, operators, and leaders in the home improvement industry. For 2 days, you'll discover proven strategies, plug-and-play tactics, tools, and resources on what's working now in sales, marketing, production, leadership, profitability, and mindset. You'll see exactly how to build the business of your dreams better, faster, stronger. You'll network with your peers and industry legends. You'll forge lifelong connections that can transform your business and change the course of your life. So if there's one event you attend in 2025, make it Accelerate Live. Tickets will go fast, So grab your seat today at accelerateevent.com. That's accelerateevent.com. And make sure to use coupon code podcast25 to get an extra $100 off. That's podcast25. You have nothing to lose because of our 100% risk-free guarantee. So don't wait. Secure your spot today, and I'll see you there. So this year, do you want to talk a little about Shelly, that you started doing TV advertising this year, and you weren't quite sure how it was going to go, but it's going well. So when you start with a new advertising source like TV or whatever it happens to be, how do you look at it and how do you measure? I call it keep, kill, scale. So how do you decide if, okay, I'm going to keep this and I'm going to see if I can do better with it? So like beat the control. So if this commercial or this ad is producing X, how can I have it do X plus? Kill is this thing sucked and I'm going to get rid of it. And then scale is, okay, this thing's going really well. Now I'm going to be able to I'm going to throw more money at it. How do you look at those?
So I think the first thing is you can't look at every lead source as, you know, you're going to get 15% on your revenue. You can't, it doesn't work that way. And I think the people who are doing that and killing sources are killing profitable sources that they're not aware of. So take television as an example. When you run television, we don't look to make money on our television ads. What we look to do is basically have volume attributable to television to break even on the television. But what we know is that when we run television, it increases the response to Google, direct mail, aggregators, canvassing shows. And in the case of Shelly, for those of you who don't know, Shelly was created, it's a turtle that became our logo. And the concept of it was turtle tough glass or turtle tough protection. And the premise behind it was that my marketing team ran a focus group of 40 people, had them in, showed them TV ads, radio ads, print ads, and then had them leave and come back the next day. And nobody could remember the ad or the name of the company. And so they created Shelly as this cartoon character. And basically we've taken it and, you know, used the branding and extrapolated out to all of our sources. And what we find is that not only are we most memorable, but the people truly like a turtle. Like how can you hate a turtle? So we've been able to do things that are sort of cute with it on a more serious subject. And most importantly, we've been able to stand out because since the beginning of the year, and I think we talked about this, we had decided to go out of the aggregator lead business. We just decided to stop really using them. So we needed something to separate and differentiate ourselves. And as a result, we created Shelly. And it hasn't gone without hiccups, but for the most part, it's been universally accepted and has great response relative to what we're doing. But on the source itself, you know, we run a lot of TV now, which we didn't do before. And we see when we run that television that there is just a general increase in inquiries among all sources as a result of the television. But if you were to break that down on a number by number basis, your marketing cost could be 20 to 30% on TV. But if you take it across all mediums, it's a different dollar amount, a percentage amount.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say to you is on the original question that you asked, how long do you wait for a lead source? We give sources 90 days. So we're sharing information with those people every day. So we're giving them reports, we're giving them metrics, we're telling them what's working, what's not working, what sales are, what demo rates are. And we're establishing a benchmark for them. And it's not a lie. It's the truth. Because you're not looking to you don't really want to take advantage of a media partner. You want to get one that has your mutual benefit in line with yours. And so the more active you are and the better you are with that information, the more likely it is you'll be successful with that source, whatever the source is.
You're doing some really cool stuff too with texting, after hours, ads, people not having to actually talk to a human being. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I know you actually, this thing worked so well, you actually like started selling the system to other companies, but the strategy is so, so fascinating and it makes so much sense. And obviously, you know, you're making it work like gangbusters. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
The concept started as a, you know, everybody was talking about speed to lead. At that time, we were using like a lot of aggregators. And I think, you know, we had a pretty robust call center, but we still weren't really getting in touch with it, as many people as we thought we should be getting in touch with. And the more technologically savvy the customer is, the less likely you are to get in touch with that customer. So we developed a program that basically allows you to schedule an appointment without ever speaking to a customer service representative. And everybody's, you know, people who are listening will be like, well, I've seen that before, you know, it doesn't work, and whatever the case may be. The difference with our program as opposed to others that you've seen in the marketplace is it directly links into your CRM. So it knows up to the minute every availability at specific times that you're running, the days of the week, the times, and your salesman's availability. And what we found was that 50% of our customers were setting leads using our platform.
Wait, what was that percentage? Sorry?
50%.
Okay.
Okay. But what was more interesting was when you went into the numbers further, cancellation rate of those appointments were significantly less. The average sale of that customer was higher. The cancellation rate of that sale was lower. And so all the metrics that you look at was positive. But as an example, we did that and then we used it. We kept developing it. And we basically had a programming team that works for me directly, creating. And every time we come up with an idea, we, you know, implement it. So then I was speaking to a couple of people that I knew. I'm like, hey, would you try this out for me? And they did. And, you know, they added like stupid things that we didn't think about. Like, can you create a link where once they schedule, we can put it in the calendar, into their phone, iPhone, like a regular calendar, the Chrome phone, whatever. Like, yes. And so it improved the stickiness of the relationship to the customer, to the company. Now we've gone as far as AI confirmations. And so we can talk to a customer on how many windows you want, how both people being home. You know, we ask like 8 or 9 questions, again, with the idea that that people don't want to talk to anybody. So when we look at the numbers, we've done tens of millions of dollars on this particular source. And basically what it comes back to is it's a 1% marketing cost when all the numbers are factored in. And you could argue that, well, you would get 50% of that business anyway, maybe 60%. Okay, so it's a 2% marketing cost. Who cares? But at the end of the day, the other things that we've been able to do is, let's say, you know, we run in multiple markets. So let's say that we're short in a particular market. It has the ability to go into the database of all the leads that are on set and send a text out to all those customers who never sent a lead to fill your schedule. And there's a million other things that it does. It does a financing score for, you know, customers that are filling it out. It'll tell you what they're approved for financing. Like, there's a million things it does that are just helpful to the home improvement business. But the best thing about it is that we sold it, I think we're selling it to around 30 or 40 customers now. But the greatest thing is that the smaller companies who are using it, we have a company in New Jersey that's using it, and they're receiving the technology capacity and the innovation of a large company. And some companies bigger than ours are using it, and we're learning from them. And we're like, okay, we'll implement it, So we use it, they use it, and the guy who's doing $10 million is getting, you know, is using technology from a guy who's doing $500 million, and we just did it as something for ourselves. So it's been sort of a fun project, but it, you know, again, the most important thing is that it's squeezing more lemon out of the lemon. It's squeezing more juice out of the lemon. So if it can reduce our marketing costs or anybody's marketing costs, it's worthwhile. And it's one more point of professionalism and exposure that our competitors just don't have.
Yeah.
And I think people appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll put the link for anybody that's interested. We'll put the link in the show notes. It's heavyset.tech, .tech, T-E-C-H. It's really, really cool. And I just think about, you know, I think about myself as a consumer, and I don't want to call places. I don't want to talk to somebody. Just let's text. Tell me when you have available, when you're going to come out, and let's coordinate that way. And it's just so much better. And I find myself more and more working with businesses that will communicate with me via text. It's just so quick and easy, and, you know, linking to the calendar and being able to look right there while you're on the spot, being able to look and see, well, what's convenient for me. And I think it's about time that we're able to do this in the home improvement industry.
I mean, the other thing I would say from our perspective is it allowed us to close our call center earlier.
Yeah, so right, that's nice.
You know, we're able to schedule appointments late at night when our competitors are not advertising. Our call center will wake up in the morning and open at 8 o'clock in the morning, have 40 or 50 leads sitting there that are already scheduled in the calendar, ready to go out and confirm. I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty fascinating how it works, and it's exceptionally effective for us. On setting leads, and I think the underlying satisfaction is really the customers love it. They're using it every day.
Well, cool, Scott. So I'm going to end here. There's probably a lot more that we can talk about, but I want to encourage everybody to go to accelerateevent.com and buy your ticket. So you will you'll be there with us in February. Scott will be there. I'm between two topics for Scott, but I would love to hear feedback from you guys. What would you like if you've got access to a guy like Scott, who I think one of the things that makes him such a great presenter is Scott didn't forget what it's like to be broke in this business. To have a small business. And as we know, it didn't come easy, but over the last 15 years, he has developed a hell of a business. But he can also tell you, hey, look, back when I was, you know, just doing 3 or 4 million and trying to figure out how the hell to make money on this business, here's the things that I learned. Boom, 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 boom. And here's how we overcame those things. And I think that's one of the things that makes you such a powerful presenter on these topics is you've been through. Nothing was easy for you. And there might have been one or two things out of maybe 100 that may became a little bit easier, but nothing was easy for you. You had to figure all this crap out on your own.
Here's what I would say to you. One of the biggest benefits of Accelerate is that you get to listen to and interact with people bigger than you, smaller than you, different than you. And there's many ideas that I take and others take that are large companies from the smaller guys that we know how to, you know, to leverage and scale. But if you don't go, you're never going to be able to listen. You're never going to be able to learn. So I am advocating for everybody because that's real. And there's not a resource in one of these meetings that we go to that I haven't used, tried, or improved. And I think it's there for you, like, pre-made brownies, like just go and use those sources because they can get you on the road to exceptional success with very little effort from you other than paying them and listening to them. So I'm a big advocate for things like this.
Cool. Well, thank you. And I appreciate you giving your time. He's not paid for this. It's where it's coming from is a genuine place. And I always appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all you're doing for Success Society and, of course, for Accelerate. So for those of you listening, we would love to see you at Accelerate Live happening in February. Just go to accelerateevent.com and you'll get all of the details there. We're going to be at Amelia Island in Florida, just out of outside of Jacksonville. It's a beautiful property. It's going to be the biggest, coolest event we've ever done. And I hope to see all of you there. So until next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.